Take your Bibles out this morning, Matthew chapter 15, if you'll look there. Matthew chapter 15, and I appreciate those that are taking our kids out this morning. We do have some dedicated workers who works with our children's ministry. Matthew chapter 15, and one more time, if you're able to stand, let's read our text verses. Found in verse 21 down to verse 28, our verses that we read here, Matthew 15. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence," that is, he went away and departed, that is, simply withdrew into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. "Behold, a woman of Cana," she's a Canaanite woman, "she came out of the same coast," or the region there, "and she cried unto Jesus, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." In other words, she is cruelly demon-possessed. "But he," Jesus, "answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." In other words, they're complaining because they said, "Send this woman away, Jesus, because she's one that she continues to shout at us." But notice verse 24, "But he," Jesus, "answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him." Literally, she knelt down and bowed, saying, "Lord, help me." "But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Now, he wasn't being cruel here. He was using an illustration. We see that he wasn't being cruel based on what he said here in a moment. "And she said, Truth, Lord, even, or yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." That is, you have great faith. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was healed. Let us pray. Father, what a great time that we've had already this morning in worshiping you. And we pray that you've been worshiped in song. And now we pray, and as we open the Word of God, as we have read it, God, we pray that you would be honored in what's preached from this pulpit today and what's said. May, Father, that we'll all look into our hearts and be open to the Spirit's leading as you would speak. I know you're going to speak to each one of us if we're open to that. Help us not to be concerned about tomorrow or maybe what we have going on today, but God, to be focused on what you would have for us to get out of this service this morning. I thank you, Lord, for what you will do in our invitation time as well. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If I was to title the message here today, it would be A Mother's Faith. Obviously, as I've stated, it's Mother's Day, and it's a good day. Today, churches all over America are honoring mothers. And today, I want us to look at an encounter, as we've read here, with Jesus and a mother. Now, he came for mothers, Jesus did, just like he came for all, but mothers have a special role, I believe, in society and life. He came to save mothers and to send them into service, and on this occasion, Jesus meets with a mother whose child is in danger. I think all mothers' heart goes out to this particular mom as we read the passage. You could probably relate. Maybe you don't have a demon-possessed child, or maybe you do. Or think it sometimes. But yet you had issues with a child, or maybe you have issues now. I know as we get older as parents, we still don't want that phone call in the middle of the night, do we? When our kids are out on their own, we don't like to hear that phone ring in the middle of the night. But yet this mother had some issues. Her child was in danger. And we see three things in this passage that most may have seen in their own mother's life or may see. First of all, a mother has troubles, don't they? All mothers have troubles. And we see a mother's troubles here that's laid out. Very few mothers escape being troubled somewhere along the way. A loving mother will face all kinds of things when you're raising children. There are accidents. There are disease. There's dangers of all kinds. Doesn't take you long to appreciate what parents and particular mothers go through when you walk through a children's hospital and you see a child laying there. I've been there several times visiting. And it's heart-wrenching. And a lot of times it's the mom that's there. Obviously, dad may be out working a job or whatever, but most cases kids want their mom anyway in a situation like that. So a mom has to be prepared for a lot of heartaches. Just like this mother. Mothers, you remember how it was when your little ones were sick and hurt? They came running to you. You do anything that you could to relieve their pain and help that child. I was telling you about my four grandboys. Was it yesterday? When did I take them to Burger King? 2 days ago. Mom and Dad had some errands to run, so I said, well, they were going to take them to eat. I said, well, let me take them. And Abigail's quick to say, okay. Take them on. So one of the places we like to go to is, and Mom's not invited on this one. Well, she was, but this is just a boy thing. So anyway, we said, we're going to go to Burger King. Oh, yeah, Pop, that's good. We're going to Burger King. So they know what we do. They know that we go to Burger King here in Prattville out there by Cracker Barrel, they go into the play area, and Pop goes to order. He has everything he's got laid out. I'm got to make sure, because you got four boys. You just want to make sure you can keep them in order. So anyway, they go play, and I'm in line to order, and all of a sudden, Preston, the oldest, comes running to me. Blood is running down his leg. I mean, literally, just running down his leg. And I noticed he had an old wound there that had broken open a little bit. And he wasn't crying or anything. He just said, Pop. And I'm looking. I don't know what to do at this time outside the fact to get out of line from what I'm ordering and just grab some napkins and wipe him down. And I say, okay, go back in there and sit down. Hold your leg up and just keep it from bleeding. Okay, Pop. So he goes and he sits down in the chair. And I go back to order and I'm thinking, well, I wish my wife was here now. Wish I had a Band-Aid or something. And, you know, but I wasn't panicking. Most guys would handle it that way, right, guys? That's the way we'd handle it. So I get the order, I'm walking in, and lo and behold, I look over and I see this white-haired lady standing over Preston. She's a grandmother. And she's standing over Preston, and she's just wiping his knee and cleaning the blood off and just taking care of him. And I let her continue on. I walked over and I got the other boys situated and I let her continue on because you know what? She can do a whole lot better job at doing that than I could. Plus, she had a Band-Aid. And so she was doctoring Preston and Preston was looking around at me wondering, Dad, Pop, is this okay? And I went over after she finished and I looked at her. I said, thank you for being there to help. She said, yeah, we saw him, felt sorry for him. He was sitting over there holding it. But that's a mother's heart. You see, this lady didn't know me. She didn't know that grandboy of mine. And she just saw a hurt child. And it was the mother instinct that came out of her to say, I need to take care of that child. She didn't come and ask permission for me to do it. She didn't need to, probably because she's a grandmother. Because she was there with her grandkids. and taken care. That's what a mother faces. You know, whether it's your child or another child, your heart aches and breaks. You see, the mother in our story shared her daughter's agony with others. Many mothers today can relate to this particular mother, and that is having to constantly deal with the adversity of a child who has gotten caught up in a trap of the devil. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter 5:18 says, "Be alert. Our adversary, the devil, he prowls like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, most loving mothers will hurt when their children's hurt, right? Dads, we understand that as parents. We understand that. One of the most frustrating feelings is wanting to help and not being able to. And that may have been what that grandmother felt seeing Preston hurt and maybe looking around for the parents. And matter of fact, Preston says, I said, "Preston, what did she ask you?" She said, "Well, she won't know if my mom and dad was here." I said, "No." I said, "You didn't tell them your granddad's here?" "No." I think she did see me in line, though. You see, this mother knew Jesus was the only hope for her daughter. And by the way, there's no better hope for our kids than Jesus. That's true today. The best thing that parents can do today in parenting their children and protecting them from a satanic attack is to bring them to Jesus. To bring them to Jesus. Because if there's one enemy out there that's after our kids today, it's Satan. I read this past week, the number one killer among teenagers is suicide. I got a call this week of a teenager who used to live in this area but has moved off. 16 years old, committed suicide. Actually attended our Awana. The first thing I thought was, that poor mom. That poor mom. And then my thoughts was, this child was taught by people in our Awana, praise God, that taught this child the Word of God. And, you know, but my heart ached. And I can't imagine what this mother is feeling. You, none of us can relate unless we've been there, obviously. But for a child, to lose a child like that is painful. And this mother in our story that we read about, by the way, she was in some pain seeing her child in agony like she was. And so what we find exemplified here, the Satan's attack upon this child, as we see Satan trying to do with our kids today to kill them off, the second killer among teenagers is suicide. The number one killer, I believe, is car wrecks. And that rate, by the way, and I looked at the trend of that, it's not getting smaller, it's growing. With social media and everything that's out there that's coming against our kids. Sadly, that rate is not dwindling like we wished it would. Satan's out to get our kids, whatever way he can. And in this mother's case, we see she was greatly troubled. Secondly, we see a mother's faith here. We've seen mothers that have faith, and this mother had faith. Jesus even mentioned she had great faith. This mother's foundational beliefs are made clear. She loved her daughter. Would you agree with that? As read in the passage, she loved her daughter. She believed in miracles. Why do we believe that? Because she went to Jesus. Now, she first tried to get to the disciples, but they wouldn't listen to her. And they had the ability to maybe help this lady, at least get her to Jesus. But she believed in miracles, and she had faith for her daughter, and she believed in the divine ability of Jesus to help. And And you know, one of the greatest impacts a mom can make in a child's life is to have a desire to follow Jesus. Although you can't pass on salvation to your children, but your desire for the Lord is contagious. When your children experience the joy that you feel, when you talk about Jesus to your children, they'll also become interested in what Jesus is all about. That's why I encourage young parents, raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord at a young age. Don't wait till they're teenagers. You've done turned that pyramid upside down, and you're not going to be able to build on it. Build on the foundation at an early stage in life. And in most cases, you'll see, because of your influence in their life as a mother and even as a dad, but in this case, mothers have so much influence in a child's life. Build on it early, so when those kids do face real troubles in life that they're going to face, they're going to often look to see how mom handled it. How did mom say deal with it? How did mom say, you know, to make this next step? You see, their interest in Christ comes from watching and seeing that He is the center of your life. That's why sometimes when we want to give up and we want to quit and when the going's tough, and it's easy to do that, but we have to remember and remind ourselves, because I know this is what's been the motivating factor in my own personal life, and I'm sure my wife, is that we've got other eyes watching us. But sadly today, we live in a society today where parents, young parents today, a lot of them are not raising their children in the way that this mother is raising her daughter, because there's too many things going on to captivate the time and the attention of young mothers today. We need to pray for our young moms. We need to pray for our families today, because that part of that teen suicide is the result of parents not being in the home, at least being the example to their children that they should be. And so therefore, we have to be careful, don't we, as parents? A mother's faith is important in the life of a child. That child sees that mother's faith whenever she's attacked and going through difficulties in life. She looks back and saying, this is how mom did it. We all do that sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we'll look back and reflect how maybe our mom did it or our dad did it or whatever. And hopefully we can say it's because they had Jesus in their life. A mother's faith is important. It's a mother's faith lays those foundational beliefs for that child. And then a mother's faith lays that confidence that a child needs. Mother's faith involves confidence. You see, the fullness of Jesus' power over the evil in her daughter's life was necessary in this case. She understood that generosity of Jesus' love was for all, not just for a select few, this mother did. One of the most important things that we can teach our children is how to listen to God. Would you agree with that? It's important to teach our children how to listen to God. We do that, hopefully, at a young age. Why? Because He can't be perceived by our physical senses cannot be perceived on our own. So we must teach them to pray. We must teach them to wait. Wait for God to answer. Sometimes we're not very patient to wait, are we? But sometimes our kids need to wait. When you're going through trials and difficulties, it's important to pray. It's important to wait, but wait patiently for God to answer, and make sure that answer to prayer lines up with the Word of God. Not to just go out here and do what we want to do or what somebody else tells us to do. Make sure that it lines up with what God says. Mothers have a way of teaching their children to put their confidence in God and not man. Mothers have a great influence in their life. And confidence, building that confidence as a child is important. With this in her heart, this mother sought out that approach with Jesus. She even, by the way, embarrassed the disciples with her shouting. Verse 23 says, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth for us." They didn't want to have anything to do. But she had faith. Praise God for her faith. Not only did she have faith as a mother, but thirdly, she had persistent faith. She had a mother's persistent faith. Now, all you moms know what I'm talking about there. You can have faith, but boy, it's important that we teach our children that strong, persistent faith helps to conquer the trials. Because we need to be honest as we raise our children, as we all do, that we're all going to face trials in life, and they're part of life. But it's going to be that persistent faith that helps us to conquer trials. We want to protect our children, by the way, from the adult worries. It's a temptation to sit down with our children sometimes and tell them all about life up front. But you know, there are some things it's just best to teach them as time goes by, little by little. Because if you throw all the trials at them at one time, first of all, not only will it probably go over their head, but it's going to bombard them. So we protect our children from adult worries. I don't sit down and talk with my grandboys about financial debt right now. We teach them about money and tithing and stuff like that, but you know, we're not going to talk to them about, boy, it's tough paying that power bill sometimes. Now, I remember my dad would come around and tell us, better turn that light out, that power bill's getting too high. We may throw out things like that, but that went way over my head until my dad would get the belt out sometime. Actually, not my dad, a lot of times my mom. Listen, we need to let our children know some of our struggles sometimes, but not necessarily all the worries. We let them know so that they can trust the Lord, even in trying times. So a mother's faith has to be persistent. This particular mother, she searched until she found Jesus. Right? You see that? Even though Jesus had gone to a private place away from the crowds, this mother found him. Without an invitation, a woman in that day was asking for trouble, but she went away. The life of her daughter was at stake. She didn't care what rituals or cultural prejudices stated. She overcame those enormous cultural prejudices from both her own people and the Jews in going and asking this Jew for help. She went to Jesus. She overcame the disciples' attempt to quiet her and to send her away. And why? Because Jesus was the only answer to her problem. Jesus, we see in our scripture passage, she overcame the seeming silence and the neglect of Jesus by her persistent faith. Notice Jesus responds to her persistent faith in verse 28. He not only responds to her persistent faith, but he also responds to her love for her child. Look in verse 28. Jesus said to this mother, "You have great faith." Then Jesus answered and said unto this mother, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." In other words, it shall be done for you as you wish. It shall be done for you what you've prayed about, what you desire. And then he says, or then we see in the latter part of that verse, and her daughter was made whole. Jesus, right there on the spot, healed his daughter. I think had this lady just walked away and not practiced her faith and not, in this case, maybe been persistent, she may have not had the end results that she wanted. You know, sometimes we'll pray and we'll think, well, that's enough praying over that. Jesus is tired of hearing my complaint. Jesus is tired of hearing me pray over my child for this or that. Jesus never gets tired. Jesus, by the way, hears your heartache. He knows your heartache. That's why, Mom, when you have a situation or a child that obviously is in danger or going through difficulties in their life, it's important to be persistent, just like this mother was. Because you know what? God, I believe, no doubt hears the heartbeat of that mom. And that desire, Jesus says, because of your great faith, your daughter's healed. Your daughter's healed. Well, there's a lesson to be learned in this passage. This mother came to Jesus in faith and trust, and she passed on a spiritual legacy to her children. Something that her children, in this case her daughter, is going to remember. And what is that legacy? It's the same legacy that every mom desires to maybe pass on to their children today, even among us. She came trusting and expecting Jesus to act, didn't she? We see that in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Cana, a Canaanite woman, came out of the same coast of the region and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter, is grievously vexed with the devil." She came, I believe, expecting and trusting that Jesus is going to answer her prayer. I don't think that she had any doubt. Now, how it was going to be done, I don't know that she knew the end result, but she came expecting and trusting. And then we find also in that same passage, we find her plea was earnest. And she expressed it to Jesus. Not only did she come trusting and expecting, but her plea as a mother was earnest. In other words, she expressed it to Jesus. And then number three here, in verse 25, her hope was expressed, how? In humility. How do we know that? Well, look what she did in verse 25. Then came she and she worshiped him. What did she do? She bowed down. She knelt before God. Sometimes you ever find yourself just coming to the altar with a heavy heart? We're bowing down to God. We're worshiping Him. And sometimes it may be in a physical manner where we bow down. Sometimes it may be that we just bow our head. But God, humility may involve not only just the actual bowing down, but the humility of heart. Now, I don't know if she literally got down on her knees. Does it say that? But she worshiped Him. The understanding is that it's maybe believed that, yes, she knelt down before Him, but she had a heart of humility in that she bowed before God, expressing her pain. And then verse 27, she came with the determination that would not be discouraged. She came with that determination that, listen, whatever answer I get, however it comes, I'm going to leave not discouraged, but I'm going to leave encouraged. Sometimes we don't always get our prayers answered at the moment we kneel down or bow down before God, do we? But she expected that, she poured her heart out to Jesus. She gave it to Jesus by faith. She didn't know what the end result was going to be, but she came with the determination that she's not going to leave discouraged. Now, obviously, she wanted healing with her daughter, but she wasn't sure what the answer is going to be. We've been there before. Sometimes we will pray about a matter, and some of you right now are praying about a matter you may have been praying for a long time. You still hadn't got the answer that you want yet. I would say, be persistent. Keep praying. Don't give up. You have an unsaved loved one, whether it be a child or a relative or a friend, whether your mother is here today or not. Be persistent. She came trusting and expecting. Her plea was earnest. She came with humility. She came with determination that she was not going to be discouraged. You see, this mother, what did she do for all of us here today? Not only other moms, but dads and young people that's here today. We can all learn from this mother. This mother set an example for us all to follow. Her faith was honored by Jesus, and her daughter was healed. Not only was her faith honored, but her daughter was healed. You see, what troubles do we have today? I mean, you know what you're faced with right now. Some of you are faced with some difficulties in your life, and maybe there's something in the future you don't know about yet. How will you deal with it? Will you find yourself doing what the disciples said here? Just keep your mouth shut. Don't speak out. Just keep it to yourself. Don't take it to Jesus. That's bad advice. I don't know what the disciples were thinking. Well, they were thinking the same way we would have done. It's easy for us to point a finger and say, boy, them are mean old disciples. We would have done the same thing most likely. Because they were out to protect Jesus. That was their thought. Jesus didn't need any protection. Jesus could handle the matter on his own. Now, granted, we would all can relate to the disciples. And I don't point a finger saying how bad they are. Again, they were followers of Jesus, and they were saying, hey, you're shouting at this lady, this woman is shouting at us. Now, probably they've gotten tired of her shouting. Well, they wasn't doing anything for her. They're supposed to be preachers, right? But you know what? We preachers sometimes don't have all the answers. Because we don't. And a lot of times all that we can do is point you to Jesus. Matter of fact, that's the best place that we can point you. In the direction of Jesus. So I would say, like this mother, when we're faced with troubles, then what do? We come to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus can meet your need and whatever you're feeling today. This mother had faith that would not be denied. And she's an example for us all to follow. And there are mothers like that, I'm sure, here today. I'm sure that there are kids, your kids, some of your kids could stand up and give testimony as a fact. Maybe your mom has already gone on to be with the Lord. Maybe she had. Now, this is not to say that this mother was perfect. There's no mom that's here today that's perfect. We all have our faults. But she taught her children something that we all want to see in a mom. The kids don't necessarily say and come up to you and say, as a mother, this is what I want you to teach me. But yet, later in life, is something that we want our kids to be able to say, mothers to be able to say about their kids, that, boy, that was a woman of great faith. Boy, she had great faith. Not only did she have great faith, but she was persistent. She wasn't one to quit when the going's tough, when the trials of life would come at you. Boy, she was one to stay faithful to God, and she stayed true to God. And when all else fails around and when people are abandoned, my mom was faithful, you might say. Hopefully that's the testimony. That was the testimony of this woman. You may feel, well, I can be a better mom here today. Well, that's good to feel that way. We all should feel we could do better. God doesn't judge us on the past unless it's not taken care of. If there's some unconfessed sin or things that maybe it needs to be confessed, then fine. Sometimes we wish we could go back and redo things that maybe we could have sometimes done better. But you know what? That's in the past. We need to truly, as best we can, give that over to God and look to the future and give that child or that loved one over to the Lord. Knowing that when we say that, it's easy to say that it's no longer our problem, but it becomes God's problem because it is. He can take it. He can heal the wound. So as we consider our faith this morning, perhaps there are some here who need to put their faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. This mother had great faith. Was she saved? Oh, I have no doubt she was saved. She came to Jesus. She found Jesus. Jesus said, matter of fact, you have great faith. And moms, the best thing you can do in your life, or maybe you're not a mom yet, but you're a teenager or whatever, and you're looking in the future, the best thing you could do is to lay the foundation. What is that foundation? Give your heart and life to Jesus. Whether you're a mom here today, or dad, young person, give your heart to Jesus for salvation. Jesus, I believe, is reaching out to you today. And no doubt, those of you that may not have trusted Christ, He's inviting you right now, maybe at that tugging at your heart, to give your heart to Jesus by faith. Realizing you're a sinner that needs to repent and believe. Or maybe you're here today and truly you know the Lord. And you might say, well, I haven't been the example of faith. By the way, I'm not talking about guilt. Satan right now as a mother wants to put that guilt on you. Satan wants to say, oh, listen, you're not that perfect mom that you ought to be. Well, no mom's perfect. So Satan likes to put the guilt, but you know what? There may be some things in your life that needs to be corrected, that sin that needs to be confessed or whatever. And I'm not just speaking to moms right now. I'm speaking to all that's hearing my voice. Maybe that needs to be confessed, and that's conviction. The Holy Spirit of God will draw you. He won't put guilt on you, but the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God will draw you unto Himself. And so maybe there's that sin that needs to be confessed. Not for salvation's sake. You've already given your heart to Jesus, if that's the case. Maybe you're not the example that you need to be to others and children. We have a loving God who understands. I like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a gracious, loving God we serve.